It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. We have a very special edition of Squawk Talk today. Joining me in the studio is a panel of industry experts in the field of property management. Today, we'll be discussing topics and issues that face property managers, property owners, and renters. Let's take a minute to get to know our panel. So our panel, if you will tell us a little bit about your company, maybe how long you've been in the industry, and any areas you may specialize. First guest on the panel today is Beth Hunter from Real Property Management Executives. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here. We have been in business with property management for approximately 2 years. I've been in the industry of real estate for over 15 years. We specialize in residential. We do some commercial. The areas is Greater Atlanta. We take care of them.
Okay. And our next guest is Tim Grizzle, with Real Property Management Executives. Tim, you got something to add along those lines?
Oh, sure. Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
I'm Beth's partner, and as she mentioned, we've been in business about almost 2 years now, and Beth being a dedicated realtor for 15 years prior to that, I was ran a CPA firm in Buford, so we have a unique combination. We're part of the Real Property Management franchise system, 210 offices nationwide. We started with zero, and we're up to about 130 homes at this point in time.
Fantastic, fantastic. Our next panel is Tom Cohen from RE/MAX Center. Welcome, Tom.
How you doing? Appreciate being here. I've been in the field since 94, started as a landlord and eventually got into the property management. I'm with the RE/MAX system, and we manage about 200 rentals. And again, thank you for asking me to be here.
Very good. And our final panelist today is Tal Kramer from Atlanta Communities and Avalon Property Management. Welcome, Tal.
Hey, thank you, Kate. I guess I'm the oldster on the panel here. I've been doing real estate a little over 21 years, own my own rentals since the 1980s, and my wife and I also have our own property management firm that stemmed out of just trying to help our customers, and seeing as we were doing it for ourselves, it was a logical extension.
Very good, very good. Well, our first topic today is going to be focused on from the owner's side of things. If you have a property, whether it's a single property or maybe you're an investor, why would somebody want to use a professional real estate property management company?
I'll start it if nobody else will. Pretty much, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are offering property management services that are neither licensed or what I call legit. So you have to be very careful. I think when you look at hiring a property manager, you want to ask the questions, you know, are you a part of NARPM, which is the National Association of Residential Property Managers. That's the first thing, because that organization is the top tier of property management education. And also, of course, you want to make sure that they're licensed, that they have a real estate license. And I think you'll find that they could provide more avenues of screening your tenants, making sure you're getting the right person in your property than just someone off the street that doesn't have those contacts.
Mm-hmm. Kate, you know, those are all good things. I'd take it from a different tact, that it's not so much, I think of it as why they want it, it's why they need it. Most people try to avoid property management if they can because they want to maximize the return. But I'm sure all of us at this table have had people call us with all the horror stories after they've tried to self-manage.
Right.
And I always say to people when we're talking about it, can you be a business person? When somebody calls you up and says, my mom's sick in Cleveland and I can't pay the rent this month, are you going to be the compassionate person, which we all would like to be, or are you going to be the business person to say, I appreciate that, but my property owner still has to collect rent because they have to pay a mortgage, and we have to be that independent, neutral business person, mm-hmm. which most individuals can't be, unfortunately.
Very true.
Right. I tell people that all the time. You know, they will take advantage of an owner, and they will not take advantage of us. It's just different how they treat us, the way they treat owners.
Well, and that kind of leads to the next thing. Did you have something you looked like you had to?
Oh, you going to let me in on this?
Please.
Well, just building on what some of the other folks have said, in particular, Tal's comment about being a business, property management, being a landlord is a business. And the we have a lot of first-time landlords as customers, and I spend a lot of time educating them. And the first thing I usually tell them is, this is not your house anymore. This is a business. And once you accept that, the path will be a little easier. But choosing a property management, 95% of having a good tenant screening, and being a professional property manager, we're well-equipped to handle that task.
Well, and following right on that, let's say you've got that person that's that first time. Maybe they've either moving out of their house and they've made that decision, well, I'm going to rent it, or it's been their home and they don't want to sell it. They want to take advantage of property management. How do you handle questions like, is it going to trash my house? What is it? This is my house. You just said, you got to transition them from being my house to a business. How do you relate to that?
We're really big on doing inspections through the homes, to go in the homes, to make sure that their home is being taken care of. That is the most important thing. We do it on our iPad. We take pictures. We do a report. So, and we put it up on the portals. We're very automated. And that makes the biggest difference to them, that we could show them pictures and a report.
It's so true. We worked with a property owner just the other day who had been doing it on her own, and the tenant was moving out and there were problems, and asked her, did you ever do a move-in report? No. And it's so common for us in the industry that, that's the whole point, is document the condition up front, then you can measure against that on the condition on the way out and hold people accountable. If you don't document, and photos, like you say, notes, a whole report, and obviously the tenant has to sign off on that to state that's the property condition.
I think what my colleagues have said is good in how you document, but I don't know they answered the question. The question was, how do you, not get someone in there to trash it? I mean, again, we all document it because, bottom line, if somebody does some damage, we need to make them accountable for it. The issue is, there's no guarantees. I mean, that's the bottom line. But a professional property manager with their screening process should eliminate a good portion of that. Okay, but no
minimize
one can
the risk.
Exactly,
right.
But no one can actually say that we can get 100% of the time that somebody's going to do it. It could be that the owner interfered with the process, and the tenant became mad at the owner. And then next thing you know, on the way out, he decides to give the owner a little treat, and he tears the place up. And
I think that happened to my next-door neighbor.
Yeah. Well,
I think a lot of it has to do also with the price point. Obviously, at least my personal experience has been, lower the price point, sometimes the less care that's given to the property. If the price point is good, and it may be, I'm working more the north side of Atlanta where we have, a higher price point per average. But what I typically find is that it's really a low percentage of the time, a very small percentage, even on my own property since the 80s, that I've actually seen anything more than cosmetics.
Right. There's more good in real estate than there is bad. I tell people that all the time. I mean, yes, we see some bad things, but for the most part, there's more good.
For me, it goes back to the screening. I mean, bad behavior repeats itself.
Exactly.
You do a good job screening, get a landlord reference. Bad behavior repeats itself. So does good behavior. But then again, you're minimizing risk. You cannot eliminate it, as Tom said.
I think also if you go back and if someone were to keep statistics, you'll probably find those horror stories came out of the owner that tried to manage it himself.
Right.
Instead,
yeah.
He thought he was saving money by not using a property manager, when in reality it cost him money because he didn't have the tools at his disposal to actually do the job right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads into the next thing is, how important is having inspections while the tenant is there? Is that a practice that's commonly used? And how hard is that to get the tenant to agree to it and get those kind of processes going during to prevent major damage?
Well, let's take the last part, getting the tenant to agree. I mean, that's just part of your lease that says you have the right to inspect. I mean, even the standard Georgia Association of Realtors lease agreement has clauses in there that says you have the right to inspect within normal business hours, 24-hour notice, that type of thing. But it's about, like everything else in every industry, it's about setting expectations up front, and at least every 6 months, if not more often. Again, I'll ask all of you, but when you talk to somebody who's self-managed, how many times have they never gone in the home from the time the tenant got the keys to the time the tenant moved out?
It comes up a lot.
And so generally, as professionals, you want to be in there at least every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Is that
I do.
Industry standard?
We do, too. Yeah. And I give them enough notice. I just, you know, some of the landlords are like, you just need to give them 24 hours. But I like to let them know. I want to, you know, I want them, when I walk in there, be proud, mm-hmm. you know. And for the most part, we have been.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because, you know, besides my eyes and mm-hmm. ears, when I go or my wife goes, it's our business, we have regular contractors, and
right.
they know what standards we expect, and they're going to report back to us and say, you know, hey, you ought to take a look at this. I don't think they're taking care of the house, or there's a dog here you didn't tell me about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. My contractors mm-hmm. know for a fact that anytime you go in that house, I expect you to look around and see what's going on.
And as a contractor, we do the same thing. If we've called in from a property management company and see something that's, like, they didn't say that there was going to be pet stains, well, guess what? There's a dog. You didn't know about it. We want to let our property management companies to know as well, because it's an important relationship that we have as well.
And I also find a nosy neighbor is like an assistant property manager. They'll take your number off the card, and they'll give you a call. And if it's a neighborhood with a strong homeowners association, you'll get to know those folks in the first name also. But the contractors are a valid point. Ours have come up with some interesting things. I think we discovered a strip club in the basement of one of our properties. So.
I'm pretty sure that was not in the lease.
It was not.
So if you're doing that inspection and then you find property damage, whether it's, say, it's caused by the tenant, what would be the next steps that a professional property management company would do? Is there a way to prove what was done?
Well, again, as my colleagues had said earlier, we document everything. Number one, if you don't do a move-in and move-out inspection or have a form, you'll find out that if you ever have to go to court later on, you're going to lose because that's a requirement. So once you have it documented, if you get noticed that there is some damage to the property, you know, we're immediately notify the tenant that we're going to do a special inspection at that point, give them notice that it has to be repaired within a certain period of time, and if not, then we'll take it over and just bill them back.
Hmm. Well, how does a property management company handle, you've got a repair that needs to be done in the home, and it's something that the owner should take care of, but the owner is either not able for financial reasons or willing to take care of it? How does a property management company handle that type of situation?
Well, we've got liability. We've got exposure. I mean, if the it depends on the severity of the item. If it's cosmetic, it's cosmetic. If the, you know, tub's leaking down into the living room, you know, the owner's going to have to agree to it. That's why we keep an owner's reserve so that we have funds to address things. But if the owner's reserve is insufficient and the owner won't agree to it, we have legal liability and responsibility to take care of it, and then we'll deal with the owner and take it out of future rent payments. And we can't leave that tenant in a lurch because the owner is being irresponsible.
Well, that's exactly right. Most professional property managers actually are listed as the landlord on the lease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're the agent for the owner, and they're listed as the landlord. So if you, it goes back to severity. Cosmetic issues aren't that big deal, but if it's something that affects livability of the house, it's something we have to address if the owner does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do it a little different. I think there are companies out there that list themselves as landlords, and they haven't gone to court yet, so... But actually, the owner is the landlord. We're his agent. So, and we make sure his name is on as landlord. But basically, again, the landlord has responsibilities. It's in the lease. It's in the management agreement. And if they don't live up to it, we have a choice of attempting to take money out of their funds or just let them go because, as my colleague says, there's liability there. And we don't want any more liability that we already have just by managing their property for them.
Absolutely. You're listening to Squawk Talk, and our guest of panel experts today is Beth Hunter from Real Property Management Executives, Tim Grizzle, also from Real Property Management Executives, Tom Cohen from REMAX Center, and Tal Kramer from Atlanta Communities Avalon Property. I want to follow up a little bit on that last comment that you made. If it comes a point where you have to fire the owner, what happens if you already have a tenant in a property that you fire? What happens to the tenant?
The lease is still valid. It just means that he has the option of finding another management company or take the management on himself. But we'll notify the tenant once that transition is planned so that they're not blindsided that, hey, don't send us the money anymore, don't call us. But the lease is valid. It's almost the same thing as in a foreclosure. there are tenants out there that seem to think that because there's a foreclosure happened that the lease is canceled, but it's not. It's just being reassigned to a new owner, property manager.
That's, you know, Kate, as I'm sure you well know, I mean, that was a topic came up for question roundtable at the last National Association of Residential Property Managers, and it gets, if there's no tenant in there, it's real easy to fire your owner if they're not performing. If there's a tenant in there, there are lots of legal issues and liability issues and exposure issues that you've got to do it exactly right as it pertains to the security deposit, as it pertains to the documentation as to what they're not performing on and giving them the opportunity to perform. It's a really difficult situation. I've come close, but fortunately my owners have stepped up when I've told them, you know, this is not going to be acceptable.
Right. What does a tenant have to be aware of? You mentioned foreclosures. That's happened. If those of you who've been here in the industry for a long time, you've seen foreclosures go up and down. What does a tenant have to be concerned, if anything, when the owner goes into foreclosure on the house? Would they be saying, well, look, I've been paying my rent. Why are we in foreclosure?
Tenants need to know that they're protected.
Right.
I think it was, I forget the year, I think it was 97, but there's the Tenants' Right Act that was passed federally, and it was renewed last year, I believe it was. It expired and was renewed. And basically, if you have a bona fide lease, a written lease for a market value, a fair market value, even if the place is foreclosed on, the bank has to honor that lease for 12 months or the end date, whichever is sooner. And a lot of tenants and the banks send them threatening notices telling them they're going to kick them out, and they don't know better.
Right.
And, you know, the tenant has rights because this is such a frequency.
I need to add to that because there's a caveat in there that he didn't mention. They have to honor it up to the end of the lease unless a buyer at the foreclosure buys it to move into, then they have 90 days.
Actually, the Tenant Right Foreclosure Act, I've already gone against that, and the buyer has to honor the lease. They cannot boot them out legally. If there's a bona fide lease at a fair market rate, they must honor it for 12 months or
If there's seven months left on the lease.
Then it's 7 months.
Right.
Well, the other side of that is the lease has to be bona fide. The tenant has to continue to pay their rent.
If they start following,
you know, a lot of tenants think the owner's bad behavior or misfortune they can take advantage of, and you cannot. So in order to have those protections these guys are talking about, you have to live up to your end.
Right. And I think that comes from also being the professionals that you are, is that when you know the owner's having that financial struggle, continuing to educate your tenants to say you may get this from the bank, these threatening letters, has nothing to do with you, continue to pay your rent.
Well, here's an interesting thing, because we had one of our owners get foreclosed on recently, and I got to tell you, I didn't know how to handle this and had to get educated. Right. What do you do about the security deposit when a buyer's bought it as a foreclosure? Because they're buying as is, which means the original status has nothing to do with it from the move-in inspection.
Well, that's a great question, because the security deposit belongs to the tenant. So I've not seen that situation, but I would think if the buyer is assuming that lease that we would transfer the security deposit to the management company or of his choice or to him, but I've not seen that.
We looked into it, and I can tell you it wasn't clear-cut, and we ended up deciding we gave the money back to the tenant, period, end of story. And we didn't even do a move-out inspection because there was nothing to compare against. The buyer was buying a foreclosure as is, and it was really an interesting question.
I could understand, again, a starting point being zero, but I probably would have handled it a little differently in that, again, since the lease is still valid, we would, once we're contacted by the new management company and their license, we'll transfer it, but we will still get a written authorization from the tenant to allow us to do that, or not so much allow us to do that as much as, you know, indemnifying us of doing the transfer. If they give us a hard time, then at that point we would probably put the check in the name of the tenant and the new owner, let them fight it out, get it out of at least showing that I made the effort to get out of my escrow account.
We were lucky. The foreclosure took place right at the lease end. We didn't have to deal with that issue. Yeah.
But you should always have a document for them to sign, even in a transfer of a management contract relative to foreclosure or not. You know, hey, I'm giving it to the new property manager. Just sign this. And again, if they give you a hard time, then just put it in their name and the new management company name or owner, and that'll protect you.
And so now, switching gears a little bit, you've got a tenant who has not been paying the rent for any number of reasons, a sob story. I'm sure you've heard a million of them, and we could go for the next hour telling us all the different sob stories that you have heard about why they can't pay the rent on time. How difficult is it for a property manager to evict a tenant? What's generally the process or the length of time that takes?
I think that's going to differ based on county. Because you take Cobb County right now, I mean, they're so overwhelmed with filing evictions that it takes about 2 weeks minimum for it to get filed, unless you go online. But if you're using attorneys to assist you with them, it's about 2 weeks. But basically, it's going to depend on how knowledgeable that tenant is. Because you got some shysters out there, and that's why it goes back to you know, having a professional management company to try to weed those out. I mean, because, you know, they can file bankruptcy. They can do a number of things to stall that. And I've seen that in my lifetime. But typically, you're probably looking at 30 days to 45 days to get them out unless they put up a fight.
Yeah, and it'll go a lot quicker if you follow the terms of the lease, you follow the landlord-tenant law, give proper notices. I mean, if you can prove that you have done everything you're supposed to, it will go a lot quicker. If the tenant can prove you have not, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually only gone to eviction court, I think three times since the 1980s. It doesn't happen as often as I think a lot of property owners fear, but you guys may do something similar. I think the key thing is how do you make sure you collect the rent up front? We put our programs out there that we advertise everything and say the advertised price is for on-time payment. And so if the lease is $1,700 a month, the first stipulation says that they'll get a $100 discount if we have it on or before the first. So guess what? There's a great incentive. And we almost always have our money on or before the first. And then there's a late fee, you know, after the fifth. And then there's a per diem late fee afterwards. And they just – people – a lot of times they miss one payment for some reason, and they have to lose that discount and pay the $100 extra, and they never miss again.
Yeah, but as far as evictions go, you know, court is not the friend of a property manager. I think everybody here would agree we do everything we can to stay out of it. If you've got a problem, we'll try to, you know, get them out of the property without going through the legal process.
Well, and it's expensive too. So, but how does... If you have a tenant who is going through bankruptcy, I think somebody had mentioned bankruptcy can protect them. How does that affect your ability to function as a property manager?
It just stalls the eviction process.
Yeah. It costs the owner more money for sure, because once that bankruptcy is filed, I know we step back and now the attorneys are involved, because then it's going to end up going to a different court rather than magistrate. So that's when you start to get the legal advice, get involved in it.
Yeah, bankruptcy is a federal issue, and if once a tenant files bankruptcy, you basically let them alone until it's discharged, or you will get visited by federal marshals.
and assuming, again, as we all talked earlier, most of the time properties are kept in good condition except for some cosmetics. Assuming that it's a normal situation, the standard leases do allow that when this is all resolved, the security deposit can be used towards unpaid rent. So, you know, you're typically not going to have a lot of exposure other than a cash flow exposure.
Mm-hmm. Now, does a tenant have to stop paying during that bankruptcy, or how does that process work?
That's determined by a trustee. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about bankruptcy, somebody makes decisions about what gets paid and what doesn't. So that will be determined by a trustee appointed by the court.
Yeah. Maybe one of you guys know, I ran through this a few years ago. I think there's a clause in the standard GAR lease that if they file for bankruptcy,
that's correct,
they are in default of the lease.
That's correct, but it's still, when you're dealing with the federal court, they've got a little bit more power. And I just know that because I actually used to be the president or the chairperson of the Forms Committee for GAR, and up until last year, the majority of all the changes were done under my leadership. So I know pretty well, but yeah. Once they file the federal, I mean, that's it, you know. you try to get them out and see what happens. You have the feds on you.
Has anybody here actually had to do that?
We have not.
So again, you know, these are legitimate questions, but I think anybody listening that's a property owner should have less concern. It's like I always heard the stories of people fearing that they don't like an upstairs clothes washer because it's going to leak downstairs. The one out of, you know, 10,000 that did has become magnified that people think it happens all the time.
Or the
this
water heater upstairs.
Right. This doesn't happen all the time. It's a rarity.
Right.
So talk to us just a little bit about how does a professional property management company maybe help the credit-challenged tenant who is now having to rent maybe for the first time in their lives because they had went through a bankruptcy, they've lost their house, now they have to rent. So how does a property management company help that credit-challenged individual?
We will get extra deposit. We'll get extra money. We could sometimes Tim is the one that really, you know, puts that out there for them. Sometimes it's the first month's rent and the last month's rent. So we just do all different ways to help them because we do understand, you know, a lot of it is medical, what we see, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't feel people should be punished for that.
We do. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Tim. I'm sorry. You know, it's kind of like you see the commercials nowadays for car lots, you know, credit forgiveness program. Well, we're really not trying to help the tenant. We're trying to protect the landlord.
Right.
And
exactly.
Protect the owner. But if we made our decisions based strictly on a credit score, we would all have a hard time leasing. So we try to get behind the credit and find out what's going on. You know, medical problems, we could probably find a way to work with. I see a lot of people with student loan problems. Mm. I have business owners who have been just massacred during the Great Recession. You know, the business brought them down. So, you know, the way we approach that, you know, a lot of times I'll cut a deal like, you know, give me 2 months security deposit, show me 6-7 months on time payments. We'll apply that extra month to month 8th or something like that, to first and last. Something to get some skin in the game from the tenant and to protect the owner.
We always approach it from extra security deposit. Years ago we used to do a prepayment of last month's rent, and it was interesting. I took a lengthy property management course, and the speaker pointed out that you don't want that responsibility holding that rent, because now if the owner gets foreclosed or something, you're holding their rent. So just always take it as security deposit, because the security deposit can be used as rent, and we try to make it a win-win, like you say. I mean, we normally do, most leases are first month's rent, 1 month security. So if we want the second month security, ideally, if they have it all up front, great, that works. Let's face it, not everybody has 3 months worth of cash sitting there. So we'll work with them that you give us first month's and 1 month security, and then in month two, you give us second month's and second month of security. You know, as long as we have that financial cushion there, the eviction process, should we get to it, is not that difficult. Right. We can financially protect the owner, and that's what it's all about.
And one other thing I would recommend, because, again, we all face this same dilemma, is to make sure that whatever course of action you decide to take, or you need to have a policy, because you don't want to be brought under fair housing to say you treated me differently than this one. So if you're having the challenged credit type people and you're at, you know, using that extra security deposit, you need to have that written somewhere. So if somebody ever brings up, well, why did you give that person? Because that was a friend of mine, and she's got as bad credit as I do. You know, you discriminate against me.
Right. Yeah.
So to say that if somebody with a credit score of a certain point, they should, that policy should be set for all people.
Exactly.
Okay.
We do that. Anybody under 600.
Okay.
Exactly.
There's,
and then we say, from this number to that number, basically, it's an additional deposit. From this number under, we don't even touch them.
Okay.
I mean, you need to have something around.
A lot of litigation with surrounding fair housing that you have to you have to really cover yourself on those type of situations.
Well, we're a litigious society.
Oh,
you just,
exactly.
You've got to, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, and cover your assets.
That's exactly right. So let's take another little step back. If you're talking about, as a property management company, do you ever screen the owners to say, no, I'm not going to take your property? And what would that process look like if you did? Have you ever had that up where you said, nope, sorry, I'm not going to rent take ownership of that?
I've done it after the fact when I found out I was wrong. if we've got a property that's going to have a lot of what we call deferred maintenance, has a lot of stuff wrong that needs fixing, we want to make sure that the owner has the wherewithal to make those repairs. So in that case, we might do a background check on the owner.
Yeah, we have some documents that we have them sign prior to taking the property on that they're current with the mortgage and HOA fees and stuff. One thing, though, we haven't pulled credit reports, and we're really debating that. I think the biggest thing I've always said, even at the NARPA meetings, is your customer today is my customer tomorrow.
Right.
Because they're always shopping around, and if they can save a point, they'll save a point. But, I had the unfortunate situation to hire an owner that was through four other property managers before me. And I know them all personally. And, once I took them on and started asking questions, I found out, oh, my God. So it lasted 4 years, and they all patted me on the back because they says, how did you last 4 years with this guy? But I think it's a good idea to screen your owner just as much as the tenant.
Yeah, I think we all, screen. There's certain geography. I turned somebody down today that was south of where we like to serve or, west of where we like to serve, that kind of situation. We all screen for those kinds
right,
of things.
If you feel like you can't service them in their area.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's some people won't take very low price. Some people I've heard won't take luxury homes because they don't want to deal with that issue. But I think what Tim said, really typically it's not till after you've started and you find somebody's not willing to be responsible on the repairs. That's when you realize you've selected the wrong owner, not beforehand.
Correct.
So what would you say is one of the biggest issues facing a property manager in relation to the owner today?
Teaching them to be realistic.
Look,
the majority, there's two types of property owners that are leasing their homes. There's investors who make a conscientious decision, this is something good and I want to do so. And just by the very nature of their investors, it's a business decision. But the majority of them are reluctant landlords. They can't afford to sell. They owe too much on their property. They've got to get out from a double payment because they've already moved. And those are the people that numbers are tight and they just don't realize that they still have a set of responsibilities. It's not just, oh, I got a tenant in there, and it covers some or all of my mortgage.
I think also is again, when they hire a professional management company, they need to put the faith in that management company and not try to micromanage. Mm-hmm. There have been a number of owners that I've let go because they felt they could micromanage me, and I'm like, some laws that apply to me don't apply to you as a private owner. When you do your management, so you need to let me do my job. That's what you hired me for. Otherwise, manage it yourself.
Right. They have such a hard time letting us.
They don't want to let go.
No.
Well, and Tom's point is really good. I see this a lot, especially in repairs.
Right.
We want to bring in people that we have experience with that we know are going to do a quality job. And they need to understand that if with the volume that we're doing, we're getting better rates typically than they're going to get anyways, or at least no worse. So they want to bring in some low-cost contractor because they can save a few dollars.
Right.
And we have to manage the results of that. They have to understand you can't micromanage. You've got to trust us to do our jobs.
We had a situation this week where an owner insisted on using their contractor and then sent me an email after the work was done. Who authorized all that work?
Lovely.
The owner that likes to micromanage, they still want to hold you responsible for it, and that's at the point where you got to think about terminating the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then on the flip side, what is one of the biggest issues that a property management company faces in regards to the tenant?
Other than just making sure they pay on time,
and take care of the property.
Right. Take care of the property. We're implementing as of the 1st of September to where we're going to start reporting directly to the credit bureaus, where normally it would go there if it ended up in an eviction just by them pulling off the court records, where we're going to go directly, and we're going to give them notice of that, for the new ones, of course, when they sign up. So hopefully that will be a deterrent for them to pay on time since, hopefully they've got good credit when they go in.
Right.
And you can also offer that as a plus to the tenant. You know, we're reporting to the credit bureau. You know, you show us all these on-time payments, we'll help you build your credit back.
Absolutely.
And I think that in of itself will help a lot of folks that have been struggling through a lot of things. All right, so one final question here. What would you say is your general outlook on how the market is today for both some of you are in regular traditional real estate, but specifically in terms of property management, what's the outlook look like for the owners who are looking for tenants and tenants who are looking for places to live?
I think it's very location-driven. The areas we serve, there's high demand. Most of our properties, you know, I hate to say this publicly, but we rarely go 30 days looking for a tenant if it's priced properly and conditioned properly. I mean, some of them are, you know, just a week or 10 days. It's a very, very vibrant market. There's a lot of people that need to rent. So the opportunities are excellent as long as the owner's reasonable about what market value is for their property.
Yeah, I would probably guess that none of us here have a vacancy rate more than 5%. I mean, if you've got a good property available for rent, as Tad says, it's location driven. You'll rent it. What I'm seeing is the reluctant landlords. There's not as many of them this year as there were last year. And you know, the market's improved 10 to 20% depending on where you are. And if they can sell the house, they're going to. So I am seeing there's not a lot of, you know, the inventory is down, at least from my perspective, versus last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we deal with, on the sales side, we only deal with our investors. I do. So, I mean, I see an upbeat on that just because they've bought at the low end and they know they can start getting some money out of it. But I think the rental side still is strong and it will remain strong for at least another year. With all the damage that the economy has caused, a lot of people losing their houses and stuff, they're the prime candidates for renting because they can't buy.
Right, and still it's still hard to get a mortgage. There's qualifications. You know, people can't qualify still for mortgages. You know, and there's people that have great, you know, jobs and they get good salaries. So I mean, they're the greatest tenants.
Yeah.
You know,
it goes back to what we said earlier about qualifying people because. You can't go just based on a credit report anymore. You really got to look and read between the lines, between the medicals. And, you know, they just got out of foreclosure. Well, why? Well, they happen to be part of that subprime lending. Yeah. So do you really fault them for that?
Right.
You know, yeah, you fault them for making a stupid decision, but we make stupid decisions every
day.
I mean, you
know,
we hire people that we don't want to hire. So you really have to look at it.
Are you finding owners that are selling properties more today because the market sales market is going up that they've just decided they're not going to keep the house anymore? Is that
every time, you know, our standard leases, the tenant has to give us 60 days written notice whether they're going to stay or leave, and it's about 75-80 days prior that we're asking the landlord, do you want to sell or do you want to renew with the tenant? And talking about, are we increasing the rent? And, of course, you know, these days people want to know, well, what are the numbers? And we pull the numbers. And we've had a few sales already this year of properties that we were managing that we went ahead and sold them instead of getting a new tenant in.
Right. And we've done that, too. We've done that also.
Yeah, Beth's next stop after this is closing.
Yeah, I got two this week. Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's the real estate market is good overall, and it's good for selling, you know. Let's face it, it doesn't relate directly to property management, but I'll throw something out there for anybody listening that I've said for years and years and years. Don't be concerned with what prices are. If it's a lousy market and you're getting bottom dollar for your home, what you're buying is at bottom dollar. If it's a supermarket and you're getting top dollar for your home, you're paying top dollar.
Right.
That doesn't matter. What matters is the interest rate. And the rates, in spite of the rises, are still extremely attractive, and you should move on with your lives. Buy and sell.
Right.
Very good. Well, I want to thank all of my guests and panel for being here today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about your company one more time and give some contact information, how somebody could reach you after they've heard the show. So, Tal, we're going to start off with you. Tal Kramer from Atlanta Communities, Avalon Property Management.
Yes, thank you. This has been really a treat. Easiest way to get a hold of us is our website, mydreamhome.com. Easy name to remember, mydreamhome.com. And, you know, we're very proud of our business. As I say, we've been doing it, when I keep saying we, my wife and I have been a team for over 20 years working together doing this. And We just believe in the real estate market, and we really think it's opportune for people. And we've been through the highs and the lows over the decades, and it's still a great business to be in. Opportunities abound.
Very good. Thank you, Tal. Tom Cowan from RE/MAX Center.
Tom Cowan from RE/MAX Center, actually Team Cowan. You can reach us by our website, which is pretty easy to remember. It's AtlantaPropertyManagement.com. Again, we focus on property management, tenant placement, and investor sales. As I said earlier, doing it since 94. So we'd love to talk to anybody that really needs property management, or if you have a question, hesitate to email us, and we'll gladly reply back to you. We love to give free advice. We don't want you to go the wrong way. So
very good, very good. And finally, Tim Grizzle and Beth Hunter from Real Property Executive Management Executives.
Right, Real Property Management Executives, Greater Atlanta. I know that's a mouthful.
Greater, that is a big, long mouthful.
You can reach us at our website, RPM Greater Atlanta. Beth and I are kind of the new kids on the block in property management. You know, we've had good growth in the last couple of years, and I think you'll find that we're an interesting team between her real estate background and my financial background.
Mm-hmm. I have a passion for real estate. I can't imagine doing anything else. I've thought about it, and then I was like, no, I have to do real estate. But we are, we are great together. We're a great team. We'd be happy to help anybody with their real estate needs.
Very good. Well, you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to our expert panel for being on the show, Beth Hunter and Tim Grizzle, Tom Cohen and Tal Kramer. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor care and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.